Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan, he's not here today. We're down a man. Lee's traveling back safely, hopefully, from New Orleans after that debacle by the Buccaneers. And, of course, everything Ira does on JoeBucksFan.com and everything he does on television, he's all over the place. Presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Tremendous offers right now. They're all on the websites, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. You can even see them on JoeBucksFan.com, some of them. At Ed Morse, you get 70-plus years of quality family-owned service across the state of Florida. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Those are Hillsborough County's Cadillac dealerships. At EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com right now, you can see the fantastic offer available through November 13th. 0% APR, 72 months for qualified buyers on all new 2017 Cadillac sedans. All the details are at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And at Edmores Cadillac Tampa, the season's best event is ongoing. 2017 XT5 Luxury, $389 per month. Zero down, tremendous lease, 36 months. You can get all the details at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, just west of I-275 on Fletcher. Beautiful dealership for service, and you can always stop in there. Of course, we always tell you every week about Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're so happy that they present the Ira Kaufman Podcast, and we will talk a little bit more about them later.
All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you, he's your buddy, he loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine, and he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work, and he watches practice. He takes pride in you know, getting the story correct, and he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Mr. Kaufman, it is great to see you wearing your Ed Morse gear. Is that the navy? That's the black?
It is the black. I am in black today, Stephen.
An appropriate color, my friend.
And I got a black sports coat to go on Spectrum in an hour. So it's all black, baby.
It's all black, and it's good to see you wearing the Ed Morse Cadillac brand and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa colors. Perhaps the most exciting thing this week for Bucks fans, Ira, are those offers from Ed Morse Cadillac.
They need some good news, Steve.
That's the good news. Those tremendous deals on Cadillacs, 2017s, 2018s. Ira. We got to get you in a Cadillac, my friend. You know, we're getting closer. How many more months on your current lease?
You know what? I'm looking to renegotiate in about 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, we're going to have to make a move.
Looking to renegotiate.
We're going to have to make a move.
Now, by the way, Steve, as we speak, since you were running late today, as usual, I'm in my car and I'm looking at my cell phone and I look up and there's a creature standing there in my... you know, in my driver's side window. And he's gesturing to me. The guy came out of the woods like freaking Sasquatch. I turn around, and there he is. You know, I thought he was a disgruntled Buck fan for a second. He asked me for a cigarette. First thing I did was roll up the window, close the doors, told him I didn't have a cigarette. He offered me, you know, 6 tickets to the Bucks game on Sunday. I didn't take it. And then he disappeared back into the woods. I mean, I watched him all the way. I don't know where he was going. Got down by the water somewhere. You look like a swamp creature. So that's how my day starts.
Well, I leave you alone for 9 minutes here. Things happen. All right, I'm Steve Isbitz, in case you missed that. Of course, that's the voice of the sage, Ira Kaufman. This podcast every Tuesday and Thursday on JoeBucksFan.com. Google Play, iTunes, Podbean. We expect you to leave a review. Review the podcast. Have your say. Ira likes to see those things. They're all lovely. Most of them include the word Riesling, and it's good to see. We appreciate the great support. But Ira, let me set the stage for the people. Usually on our Tuesday podcast, typically we either meet at Hooters in Port Richey or we go to a public, very nice park location. Once before here at the park, we dealt with a homeless person, and we moved. We relocated. We didn't want to wake him up with your mellow tones.
Might have been the same guy. You never know.
Today, I guess you showed up by yourself before I was here, and Sasquatch got you. I can already hear Javier in Panama trying to figure out what Sasquatch. Do they have Sasquatch in Central America?
It's a creature. Some people think it's a myth, but it's a mythical creature that roams the woods. He's about 7'7". This guy was more like 5'10". But, you know, a mini Sasquatch. He got my attention. There's no question about that. A lot more than the Buck game on Sunday got my attention, Steve. I'm falling on my sword, just like Jameis Winston's falling on his. Winston says he's not playing good enough, and I'm not predicting good enough. Although, against the spread this week, I am above 500. How do you like that? Led by the dynamic pick that the Saints would whip up on the Bucks. There you go.
Ira, you know, I think really all of Bucks Nation needs your sage thoughts here at this time. We're at the halfway point. You're wearing black. It's a time of mourning. The season is over for any of the high hopes Bucks fans had. They're not rolling off 8 in a row to squeak into the playoffs. It's just not happening. We've learned now. We reported on JoeBucksFan.com Monday afternoon. First to report, Jameis will miss at least the next 2 games, at least with his shoulder injury. Probably Dirk Cutter updated this by now, but we're recording before that. What's the state of this team right now, Ira? And, of course, the question on everybody's mind is, what do you do with the GM and the coach? Where do they stand now?
I think the first thing that you have to acknowledge, Steve, the first thing, a preemptive strike against anything you're going to hear from the podium, is very simple. 2 words. No excuses. There are no excuses. Jameis Winston didn't go down in week 2 and miss the next 14 weeks. The offensive line was not struck by injuries left and right. We're not going to blame all this on little Noah Spence or Brent Grimes missing a couple of games. So I want to get that out front. And I think Buck fans, I could just see them nodding in agreement. No excuses. There's no way this should have happened. And going forward, you have to wonder if this is going to be a repeat, the end of the 2011 season. Guys quitting, no effort, and at the end of the day, the Glazers have no choice but to replace the head coach. They didn't want to fire Raheem Morris after 2011, 1 year removed from what the Glazers told me was, in many ways, the most glorious season they ever experienced, and that includes the championship season, because they came out of nowhere in 2010, got the whole fan base excited, had a franchise quarterback. 1 year later, they're firing the head coach. That's how quick it can happen.
From your experience, Ira, does it look like that right now? Does this team look, you use the big Q word, quit?
It's a tough word. It's the toughest word in football.
It sure is. In the NFL, where you play 16 games a year and there's no room for quit or an off day, does it look like quit to you right now? Does it feel like 2011?
Steve, I look at the defensive side because that's what struck me the most down the stretch in 2011. Games were over before they even began. They didn't want to tackle. A little 8-yard swing pass goes for 70 yards. I still remember the Texans game. It might have been, I think it was the first play of the game. And we turned, you know, to anybody who was sitting next to us and said, this game's over. The game was 14 seconds in. This game's over. They don't want to play today. And I have been seeing a little bit of that. We have to be honest with each other. The tackling is horrendous. The tackling is atrocious. On the offensive side, there's no physicality. Guys aren't making plays. Winston is terribly inaccurate. You remember the play, Steve, on Sunday where DeSean Jackson, one-on-one coverage. He beats the guy off the line of scrimmage. He's clearly in the open. And Winston, the ball keeps sailing and sailing and sailing. By the time Jackson gets it, he's got 1 foot in bounds, if he's lucky, 1 foot out of bounds. That can't happen. Steve, you think Drew Brees is going to miss that pass? You think DeSean Watson is going to miss that pass?
Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to miss that pass?
Very interesting. Very interesting. Guys look like they're checking out, Steve, and that's tough to say. Now, you and I were in the locker room last week. We did our podcast last week, and we've already gotten feedback from some fans saying, as soon as they listened to the Thursday podcast, they knew the Bucks weren't going to win in the Superdome, because one of the main themes that you and I and Lee were saying was there's no juice. There's no juice in the locker room. Guys are walking around like zombies. That's not going to change this week, Steve. In fact, it could get even worse.
It's funny. If you go listen to the Bucks Uncensored podcast by the commish, I think the third Bucks take in is a guy screaming about the Ira Kaufman podcast. And I knew it as soon as I listened to the great sage, Ira. I knew this game was lost. It's kind of funny. It's an ode to you within the pod.
And the game, that the final chance to salvage their season. You know, if you're 3-5, you got a glimmer. Not a good chance, but you got a glimmer. You just beat a division. You just beat one of the hottest teams in football. Instead, Steve, that game got away early. They didn't take advantage of whatever was there. No pressure on Brittany. You know, the usual suspects, Steve. It,
sure.
It never changes. No physicality from the offensive line. Martin ramming his head into the wall, although I thought Peyton Barber with the same offensive line looked a lot better than Doug Martin. And as a result, if I'm the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach and the running back coach, I'm done with Doug Martin. I'm done. I'm trying Barber the rest of the season. If he doesn't get anything done, I'll address it in the offseason with free agency or the draft. I'm done with Doug Martin. Steve, he's had his chance. They gave him another opportunity. He doesn't have the burst. He's not making people miss. And there's at this point, there's no reason to go back. On the other side, no pass rush. Steve, how many times can we hear it? You know where Drew Brees is going to be in the pocket. If you don't make him uncomfortable, he's going to kill you. That's what happened. So nothing ever changes, Steve. Soft coverage, no pass rush. Of course, those two things are linked. And
defense now allowing 69% to opposing passers.
That's Lovey-like. No question.
And think about it. There are only two passers in the league who throw from better than 70%, Tom Brady and Josh McCown, who's coming in here on Sunday. That's a whole nother soap opera.
And speaking of the Jets, Steve, let's not let this go by. We'll talk more about it on Thursday. But I checked the standings this morning. The Jets are a game and a half out of a wild card spot, very much alive midway through their season. They're 4-5. They're viable. This is a team that everybody started in September. They're packing it in. Oh, they're looking at Sam Darnold, Rosen and UCLA. You know, the management doesn't want to win. Of course, the players do, and the coaching staff does because they're playing for jobs. But ownership, Woody Johnson, you know, this is a
sure,
you know, do-over season, tank season. And here they come at 4-5, and the Bucs are the ones that are going to have a top-5 pick the way things are going. Boy, things change in a hurry in the NFL.
They sure do. They sure do. Let me go back to the game, though, Ira. You know, you said you see a little bit of quit. You see the same problems over and over again. So the offense, though, I know you mentioned Jameis's inaccuracy and some of the issues there and the line not being nasty like they need to be, but how much of this do you really put on Jameis? Because forget, in addition to what we see on the field, the whole leadership aspect of the quarterback being able to go out there and command a drive from the start and get the rhythm. In very many ways, the QB is responsible for the rhythm of the offense, and then we see all these pre-snap penalties.
This is what is driving the Glazers crazy. On top of the 2-6, which you can't get away from, and being out of the postseason picture and being relegated to the division basement, where they are quite accustomed to being, as I keep mentioning, and I will continue to keep mentioning. But the one on top, the layer on top of the layer that's killing the Glazers is Winston's regression. Winston's regression. Ultimately, that's going to go a long way in deciding what changes are made. And there's going to be changes. And I'm not talking about replacing the long snapper. There's going to be some major changes around here. Has to be. After a 4-12, 5-11, 6-10, you pick it. 3-13 season. There's going to be some big changes. And I mentioned in my Monday column, Steve, it's a big part of the column, the Cutter-Winston relationship is central to Cutter's future. Winston's not going anywhere. And, you know, we both woke up this morning and we read some of the fan comments, and they're turning on Winston. They're talking about drafting a quarterback. That's just fan talk, Steve. That's not going to happen. You and I are realists. Not going to happen. If the number one pick in the 2015 draft turns out to not be that guy, the Bucs are set back another 5 years. That's not going to happen. I get no sense at all that Brian, Joel, Ed, Avi, Darcy, anybody you want to mention that matter, have turned on Jameis Winston. Now, are they concerned? Yes. But they haven't turned on him. They're not saying he's not the franchise quarterback. And if that's the case, which I believe it is, it's going to be people who are going to stay are the people that are going to help develop him into an elite quarterback.
Yeah,
and if you're not going to do that, you're not going to be here.
Yeah, and I have to be a little bit harsh here, but it's me. It's your podcast, but it's still me saying it. You have to be an idiot to turn on Jameis Winston right now. It's not like he has off-the-field issues. He has been hurt for weeks. What that is causing, we don't know.
He made a bonehead move yesterday. That was immature.
He made a bonehead move. I want to get to that. But he's 23 years old. He's put together two seasons the way everybody would have really wanted to see him put together. How could you possibly give up on this guy, given the history of Bucs quarterbacks and the fact that he's got a lot of good football left in him? I don't think anybody denies that. So
they're not that stupid.
Having
said that, you asked the question, how much responsibility does number three bear? He bears his fair share. He's not accurate. He's making lousy decisions. He didn't show much maturity in Sunday's game. So, yeah, you know, he's forcing the ball at times, and he shows no skills whatsoever in completing deep footballs. None. I point out in the column today, they have two completions of 40 yards or more through eight starts of Jameis Winston this season. Josh McCown has more than that.
Much more.
Much more. So that's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable.
Yeah, I think it gets magnified a little bit, too, because you see what Carson Wentz and Jared Goff are doing.
That's a great point.
Second-year quarterbacks.
The Blazers see this.
They see this. Second-year quarterbacks, one with a first-year coach,
one with a second-year coach. Deshaun Watson before he went down. Absolutely.
Dak Prescott not really having a tremendous sophomore slump. You know, Jameis is sort of taking his place middle of the pack, maybe, among quarterbacks in the NFC, which is very quarterback-rich.
Do Wentz and Goff have better weapons around them than Jameis Winston? I don't think you can make that argument. Maybe better offense.
Yeah, running
lines,
running games.
Running games.
Running games. We
but
have
not
no
targets.
Game.
Not
no,
targets.
No, there's a lot of problems here, but I think you're being fair on Jameis. And so they're going to build around him. They build around Jameis. If he can come back in 5 weeks, doctors say, you know what, he needs a month to heal. We'll check him out again. He's good. I think it's important to let him finish out four games.
I do, too. I'm not shutting down Jameis Winston for 2017, unless I have to. I think it is important. If he can come back for December, get him out there. Let him develop a little more rapport with the O.J. Howards, the Chris Godwins of the world. You would think DeSean Jackson's going to be back next season. You would think. Otherwise, it's a colossal mistake.
Well, they're paying him, and he's not the problem.
You know,
I think he can catch if Jameis put these balls on target. But an important question, Ira, I just realized here with Jameis. If the Bucs make a change in the hierarchy, if they go with, you know, they pick a football man, an accomplished man to come in here and get the job done, let's pretend it was Tom Coughlin, even though he's locked up. Let's pretend it was a Coughlin guy. Suppose Coughlin comes in and says, Jameis isn't our guy. I mean, suppose
he's got to answer that question in the interview process, and if that's his answer, he doesn't get the job. He doesn't get the job.
So Jameis is the franchise.
I think.
Period.
I think he's the main reason still for Buck fans to feel any shred of optimism going forward. If Winston wasn't on this team, you'd be looking at the Cleveland Browns. You'd be looking at that kind of situation. The Bucks have Winston. The Browns don't. The 49ers don't. That gives them a leg up.
Fair statement I said on my podcast, Ira, fair or not, if Cutter, regardless of the team's record, now I'm not talking losing out, I'm not talking 2-14.
That's right.
But if they keep going like this and they're 4-12, if the offense thrives at the end of this season, they finish as a top 10 offense, top 8 offense, things get rectified, Fitzpatrick does pretty well, Jameis is back in a rhythm when he gets back. Is there any chance Cutter's not here next year?
That would go a long way to saving Cutter's job. I mean a long way. And one of the things that's hurting Cutter right now, for whatever reason that you want to come up with, but the facts are the facts. This offense was a lot better when he was the coordinator. Those are the facts. They had a heck of a running game in 2015. Martin was running wild. Sims was useful as the number two. You hear that, DeCamper? Sims was useful.
Similar offensive line, too.
You know, and they didn't have Sweezy. By the way, let's be brutally honest here, which we are at Joe Bucks Fan.
Always.
Marpet's not doing much in the middle. I don't see a lot of push there. Sweezy's supposed to be nasty. Steve, you see any reason to call this offensive line nasty? I mean, I really don't. Donovan
no.
Smith has not had a good season.
No, we've talked about it. No, the answer is no. If it's me, I insert Joe Hawley for a start in the next game at center. The one thing coaches and players have said about Hawley, he's got that nasty edge. That's what everybody liked about him. But his body gave out. He lost weight because he couldn't work out, and they replaced him at center. But you know what?
What do you do with Sweezy?
Well, his weight is back. Hawley, he's healthy. He's been resting. He's a veteran. He knows the offense. He was there in 2015 when they had that push. I think the Bucs hierarchy, maybe I'm wrong, needs to get over their egos. Stick Hawley in there for a game. Throw Marpet back to right guard, who'd probably be the happiest man in Tampa Bay to do that.
Marpet's communication with Winston is not very good right now. Steve.
No. And go from there. Shake things up. You got to shake something up. So what do you think is a shakeup? That's one that I suggested. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't. What is Cutter? Cutter's got to shake up the lineup, right?
I think that's the only move he can make. I mean, Caleb Benenaka is not going to make the difference. Steve Dotson's probably been their best lineman this year. He doesn't need to be moved from right tackle. You got to move Marpet back to right guard for at least a game and see if it makes a difference. If it doesn't, you finish your mission with Marpet. In the long range, they still think he's going to be a center. I haven't seen it bear fruit yet, Steve. It's only a half a season. But, you know, they're running between the tackles. There's nothing there, Steve. There's absolutely nothing there. And meanwhile, the Saints have a heck of a center, and they're running wild. You know, they got a two-headed monster over there. The Saints are a handful right now, Steve, with the complimentary football. You know, the defense is playing a little better.
I forgot to tell you.
And Marcus Lattimore is a hell of a rookie.
I realize the Bucs are finally playing complimentary football, Ira. They all stink, right? So the defense complements the offense.
Ooh, and, rough, Steven, rough.
And now they can't punt. They
What's
get
the matter?
Punt
you didn't have your Wheaties this morning, Spitz?
And, Ira, I just want to remind everybody real quick, the details will be out this week for your fan retreat event free in Atlanta the night before the Buccaneers game there later this month. You will be out there. You will be pressing the flesh. You will be drinking. You will be enjoying yourself with fans, giving a little presentation. We're going to have some special guests. All the details will be on joebucksfan.com later this week. And, of course, fanretreat.com. That's where you want to go for all your tickets and travel packages to the HBCU Classic game this month at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. Fanretreat.com is selling tickets, amazing packages, and the Battle of the Bands is second to none. Great stuff. Fanretreat.com, your one-stop shop, where you can buy events, tickets, travel together, get over there, or catch the link on joebucksfan.com to the Florida Classic. Well, any lineup changes on defense? You see any shakeup there? Or they just got to sit status quo with what they got? Or what are you doing? Maybe, I don't know. I'm asking you.
Well, I think you got to play.
You bring Tandy back.
They don't have a lot of options. They don't have. And let's be fair. If we're going to pick on Jameis Winston as the leader of the offense, not getting the job done, Quan Alexander's been terrible. He's been terrible. I don't know that he's 100%, Steve. I don't know that he is. But he's missing tackles left and right. He's taking bad angles. That's not the Quan Alexander that Buck fans love. The guy that looked like he was an ascending player and was going to be a Pro Bowl middle linebacker. At the same time, Lavonte David's playing ball. Lavonte David hasn't quit. He's in the middle of things. 4 forced fumbles in the last 4 games. Give him credit. You know, Beckwith's been quiet. I thought when Alexander came back, and you got him and Lavonte and Beckwith, that's on paper, that's a heck of a trio. Paper doesn't work, Steve. Paper's not working.
I thought Alexander was better against Carolina, but his speed didn't show up yesterday. And without his speed, Quan isn't Quan Alexander. He's not the biggest guy, and bad angles.
I think maybe I'd play T.J. Ward and give him the next month to show me what I got, because I got to know whether I want him back next year. Right now, you know, his attitude's not great. His play's not great. Let's see if this guy can bring some physicality, some thump back there to that defense. He's got the winning pedigree. I got to give him a chance, Steve. And Justin Evans. I'm not taking Justin Evans out of line.
Well, he's been playing a lot. I mean, they're trying to develop him. Missed tackle was bad yesterday. You know, couldn't wrap up. You know, but he's getting his time, and at least he's developing a little bit.
Steve, as you said, there's nothing to hang your hat on right now with this team. Nothing. Nothing to hang your hat
on. Well, a lot of fans are hanging their hat on the obvious of new leadership. So, look, Jason Light has no contract. Everything is falling against Jason Light. Everything.
Everything.
Everything from every last corner. Swaggy to the kicking situation to everything.
Calais Campbell. Everything.
Everything everywhere. Guys he didn't pick up. Guys he wasn't interested. Doug Martin. That's $5 million of the Glazers' money he spent to bring back Martin when they knew he was questionable and coming off a suspension. Flushed money down the toilet. O.J. Howard. They're not using him.
Hargraves.
I mean, the older guys he counted on in Grimes and Ayers, not really performing. Sort of looking like maybe it's their last year.
Donovan Smith and Marpet. I mean, it's stacking up.
Those two guys, the Sweezy Marpet switch and change. I mean, it's really stacking up against the guy. But here we are. You said to start this podcast, the outrage of the Glazers and the frustration that they're feeling just like fans. It's Tuesday, Ira. Your podcast is popping. It's Tuesday. Have the Glazers made that phone call, started the process of, hey, if we need a new GM in 8 weeks, we need a name and a guy. Have they started that already?
Their history tells us that they have. They have certain go-to people. You can call them consultants, people that the Glazers bounce ideas off. They don't pick these guys in a vacuum. They don't make these decisions in a vacuum. They have people that they respect. But, Steve, it begs the question. If one of those changes happens at the head coach position, you got to ask yourself, don't they need a new process? The process is flawed. You can't keep getting the wrong coach, Steve. And I'm not saying Carter is. You can ask me point blank, and I'm going to give you my answer right now on this Tuesday podcast. I would not be inclined to change a head coach again after 2 years when the guy has had one bad half a season. One bad half a season.
Oh, it's too early on Cutter. I agree with you.
Now, next year, you know, if you bring him back, it's under, you know, the well-known parameters known by everybody, including Cutter. You better win. You have to win or you're going to be gone. And I think Cutter would understand that.
But how do you bring a guy back if the team in this season, Bucks have been embarrassed. Nobody could even argue. Embarrassed in 4 out of 8 games. If you're embarrassed in 4 out of your final 8 games, how do you bring the guy back?
You said it yourself. Barring a unmitigated 3-13 or even 2, you know, the unthinkable 2-14 disaster, that would change everything.
Suppose they simply repeat what they just did. 2-6 with 4 embarrassments. That's tough sledding. You got to sell that.
That's tough sledding.
You got to sell that to the fan base and people.
Point I made in my Monday column, guess who's going to play a big role in it? I mean, this is not any kind of revelation. Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston right. is going to have a conversation and a series of conversations with the Glazers. They want to talk to Winston if they haven't already. And they want to ask him and they want to gauge whether his faith in Dirk Cutter is as strong as it was before the season began.
Absolutely. Look, Cutter's got...
That we can say without question.
You're 100% on the money. That relationship, the success of the offense. Cutter's got a lot of room here to fix things for himself. Jason Light, though, I know we sort of brushed over it. Tough spot. I mean, they're not going to talk to Jameis about Jason Light.
I'll tell you what makes it tough, Steve. The fact that they didn't give Light an extension before 2017 season began tells you that they were still up in the air about Jason Light. What other conclusion can we draw? They weren't sold completely on Jason Light. Otherwise, he'd have the extension. Would have had it in training camp. So if you're going to base it on the 2017 performance and how the guys that Light picked up in free agency and the draft and past drafts performed, that's tough sledding, in the words of Lovie Smith. That's tough duty. That's tough duty. The second half of the year will probably tell the tale for Jason Light if the decision hasn't already been made, and I'm not sure it hasn't.
It may have happened already. We don't know, but do you expect any cuts? Expect the Bucks to release anybody today, Monday, tomorrow, Tuesday, as a show of anything? Do you expect somebody to get cut?
Well, in the words of somebody who said it better than I can, that would probably be rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's over. It's over. They're 2-6. It's over. The only thing left is pride, which we didn't see a lot on display at the Superdome. Here come the Jets, full of piss and vinegar. Who would have thought that? And that's another guy we didn't even mention, you know, with all the things that are going crazy for Light with Calais Campbell. Here comes McCown. Now, look, McCown wasn't going to stay a Buck, and none of us wanted him to remain a Buck. We can't pin that
sure,
one on Jason
of course not.
But
of course
it just
not.
Rubs it in a little bit more.
Safarian Jenkins especially. Add
Safarian Jenkins. Yeah.
Interesting stuff there. Mike Evans, you saw what he did in response to Jameis's poking, entering the field when he was injured with his helmet off.
I don't want to hear Winston saying he was just pointing across the field at something. No, you did more than poke. You made contact because Lattimore wouldn't have turned around in an angry mode if you didn't.
What do you think of that whole situation?
Frustration, but it's not an excuse. It's not a good enough excuse, Steve. As far as Evans is concerned, Steve, tell me if I'm pushing this a little bit, this narrative. I think he's gone back on the maturity that he showed to a remarkable degree in 2016. By his standards, he had a bad 2015. He had a bad 2015.
He
dropped a ton of balls. He didn't really want to admit it during the season. Well, you know, and he thought he was being unfairly criticized, but he had time to think about it, and he came back a new man in 2016. Fantastic season, very few drops, newfound maturity. And this year, I don't think he's competed hard enough, Steve. I really don't. He's relied on his talent, which is immense talent. He can be as good as he wants to be. So yesterday, to me, was the culmination of a little bit of slippage in Mike Evans' maturity. Slippage. We don't want slippage, Steve. but Winston instigated it. And anybody that's trying to defend Evans, he's trying to defend his quarterback. Let's hear it from Mike Evans. There was nothing courageous about what Mike Evans did. And you saw my tweet, and I didn't waste any time doing it. Where's Cutter at that point? Where's Cutter? After the game, he says, I didn't see the incident. I didn't know what was going on, but somebody told me. Well, what did they tell you?
Yeah, Ira, you've
benched the man.
You've taken a hard stance on this. I think everything what you were saying is fair.
The game was over. Bench him.
Up until that tweet you referenced, I mean, if Cutter didn't see it, what's he supposed to do? I mean,
but then he said he was told about it.
Well, yeah, one of his coaches told him about it.
When? At the end of the game? You know.
I hear you. I understand, Iron.
We all saw it. I mean, you can't spin that. I don't think you can spin it. You know, Winston was the instigator, and Evans put the punctuation mark on it. And it didn't show any class. And you don't want that representing your franchise.
No, not, and those are the two guys who are the captains as well. And you may say, captains, who cares? But it still speaks to another level of what's going on.
Some fans don't like Winston's pregame routine. I guess he was making all kinds of antics.
Well, that's what he does. And this one, though, it just didn't feel like a 2-5 pregame speech.
Yeah.
It was a little bit
wacky. It was a speech for a team with playoff aspirations.
And you looked at the guys. I don't think they were really responding to it. Now, you're not going to win with all your speeches, but this one was just a little weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyway. But you know what? I saw it when it was on the TV live, and that little snippet they showed, I don't know. I thought it was just funny, but anyway.
I don't like changing coaches every 2 years, Steve.
Well, I know you don't.
And to me, if you do it again, the finger's got to be pointed at you. And by that, I mean ownership at that point. You're making bad choices.
That's true. It's true. But if the guy's not doing well, you know, do you have a bad...
So next year, if a guy has a bad month, are we talking?
I'm not saying fire him now. I'm saying if this looks ugly, if he can't right the ship by the end of the year, what's the point?
You know, maybe you got the wrong players.
But you're talking about the process, which maybe the process has to be looked at. Wrong players. I think it's obvious right now, though, they have the wrong players.
It's not a good room.
It's a bad situation for 8 games to go. I mean, maybe, you know, some teams check out after Thanksgiving. This is before Halloween. I mean, this is a crisis situation.
What bugs you is they haven't been competitive in half their games. That's what bugs you.
Yeah, this is a competitive league. I mean, even the bad teams compete most of the time. I mean, this is not, pick a sport. You know, this isn't women's college basketball where it's 100-38. Games are supposed to be close, and a bad team should only have his doors blown off maybe, what, twice a year? This is bad, historic, with all this talent. And you might say, hey, there's not enough talent, but there's still bodies out there to catch the football.
I've been harping, Steve. I've been harping. Look, you read all my columns, and you know this is a big, big theme for me. And I'm not getting off it because you can't get off it.
Never change, Sage.
Steve, there's no physicality. There's no physicality. What else is football? But physicality, you know, it reminds me, you know, remember the old 49ers under Bill Walsh? All right, they had Montana, Jerry Rice, of course. They had Dwight Clark. They had all these guys, but they were physical. They were not a finesse team. They could belt you in the mouth. They also had Charles Haley, you know, who set a tone.
And Ronnie Lott. And Fred Dean, a lot of guys, sure.
And a lot of guys. So some of these teams, you know, we look at the Patriots. They got Brady. They had Randy Moss in 2007. Boom, they belt you in the mouth. They run the ball when they want to run the ball. That's what these teams do, Steve. The Bucks have no physicality. That's driving the Glazers crazy. All the bells and whistles don't work, Steve, if you can't push people around.
Yeah, and even the nasty guy that they swore was going to rub off on everybody, he's not that nasty, and he's not rubbing off. It's a sad, sad state of affairs. Cheer yourself up by going to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. See all their great November offers that we just talked about. And
you wonder how McCoy's going to handle these last 8 weeks too, Steve. McCoy. He looks like a guy that's biting his tongue a little bit, Steve. He's said a few things, but I get the impression there's a lot more that he would like to say. But he always says he's a team guy, and for my money, he is a team guy.
Well, look, I think some fans want to, and a lot of fans want to see McCoy start talking to some of his other teammates. But what about Jameis? I mean, he seems more eager to get in the face of an opponent than his own guy saying, hey, let's block this up for Doug. We're running a power here. Let's break their face.
He did talk a little at the end of last year, Steve. You guys made a big deal about that where Winston said, hey, we may not have all of our guys may not be the right guys.
That was two seasons ago after Lovey
as a rookie. Yeah, as a rookie.
That was after the last game. I'm talking in-game stuff or I don't know. There's just something missing. And I remembered yesterday when Jameis walked on the field and, you know, he's hurt and he's poking guys and instigating when he shouldn't be doing anything like that. Just stupid stuff. Remember last year, I think it was Dallas, when he headbutted the guy?
Yes, it was Dallas.
It seems we've seen a pattern here that when Jameis is in a high-stress situation, he crumbles.
He's not a good loser.
He's not a good loser, and when the stress is on, you know, he's not necessarily a winner.
Yeah, when things aren't going his way, you're right.
He hasn't done enough, not enough winning for us to be sold, which brings us back to the beginning. But it's, you know, I'm not anti-Jameis, and like you said, he's the franchise quarterback here. All right, Ira, look, anything else out of that game?
Well,
anything that you felt good about? Anything whatsoever? Or are you just pretty much with the rest of the fans in the toilet here waiting to be unflushed?
How can you show up and not compete in a game that meant, basically meant your whole season? 3-5, it's a lot different. A division win, you're shutting down the hottest team in the league on the road. You got the Jets rolling in. All things considered, the Jets are not an exceptionally talented team, but they play hard, Steve. That's what's going to drive the Glazers crazy on Sunday if the Bucks don't compete. And at this point, Steve, sadly, we don't have any reason to think they're going to compete on Sunday. The Jets come in here, they could be 5-5. The Bucks can be 2-7. How's that going to sit with the brothers Glazer?
Well, look, you're the guy who knows the brothers Glazers best, Ira. This is what we're saying, or I'm saying, is they have to be thinking change.
They're going to feel that they have to make some serious changes.
They have to be thinking that because you got to be prepared. They can't bring Dirk Cutter back if he wins three games. That's just like throwing it's stupid. It's stupid. I don't know. It's Dirk Cutter, it's interesting, Ira, because previously we've had different kinds of head coaches and different kinds of leadership. Mike Smith, ton of experience. Dirk Cutter, endless experience in this league, college coach, high school coach. These are guys who should know how to pull their team out of this thing, but they're also guys who shouldn't have ever gotten their team to this spot. So, what I mean, Mike Smith's career is on the line in a lot of ways.
Steve, you add T.J. Ward and Chris Baker to a defense that allowed a 34% success rate on third down last year, tops in the league. One of the remarkable stats, I think, of the 2016 season for anybody is that a team with a mediocre yep. pass rush led the league in third down defense. I mean, that's a remarkable achievement. This year, I just checked it. They are one snap away from being 50%.
Yeah, one snap.
In fact,
50.
It averages out to 50%. Last in the league. From first to last. You got the same guys, basically. And you've added a few guys.
Well, you've lost too much.
And the same coordinator.
Too much loss of Brent Grimes. I mean, he's proving more and more valuable all the time. It's a train wreck. It is just a train wreck, Ira, and here we are. I don't know if you soothed anybody today, Sage.
But no, but we didn't pull any punches.
We didn't pull any punches. Bay News 9, your new
absolutely
your new gig.
Every Monday. Of course, the first two questions are going to be about the Bucks. I will try to get a Gruden update this week and have it for the Thursday podcast. I know our listeners are into that.
Yeah, we avoided that for a reason. We know, as many people here on the intro to this podcast, Gruden considers you a friend. You're his guy.
He tries to do my impression of me.
He considers you an expert in pro football. Unbelievable.
So can he tell the expert what he's thinking?
We'll see. You know. We'll see if he mans up. All right, Ira. It's just tough times.
You didn't like the look on Cutter's face Sunday evening, did you?
I don't really care much about the coach's looks. I know you're into that stuff, you know, how the guy reacts.
He wasn't defiant, you know.
But I'm more interested in the team, and the team is just, you cannot just get clobbered like that.
He's as shocked as you are, Steve. There's a look of shock on the face of Dirk Cutter.
It's just grotesque. I feel bad for the fans and the good people.
He waited a long time for this shot, Steve.
Yeah.
And now he's got to be thinking to himself in his private moments with his wife or his coaching staff, hey, I might only get 2 years out of this. They might pull the rug out from under me. He's got to be thinking about that.
you know, he's said many times, all right, we'll close with this. He said many times the last month, I trust the process. I 100% trust the process, our process.
If I didn't think it was good, I'd change it.
Do you think he does something radical here? He's got to know he's got his career on the line here as a head coach's dream job. Does he do a big shakeup? Does he
maybe he's got to change practice?
Does he take all the guys out on the town one night and try to shake things up a little bit and go have cocktails on a Thursday? I don't know, but they got to do something.
When you've lost five in a row, the way they've lost five in a row, Steve, nothing's out of bounds. Nothing. So we'll be back on Thursday, and we'll give the temperature of the room on Wednesday. Right now, my temperature's about 61.4. Chilly. Absolutely chilly.
Come on, Ira. You're always sizzling. Everybody knows you. You're hot. You're a hot man. All right, get out of here.